Well, let's then turn in God's words to continue in our study of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, as we continue to Jesus calling his first disciples after his temptation and after the death of John, or not the death, but the imprisonment of John the Baptizer. So let us hear together God's word from Matthew chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis and Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. As far as the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we look at Jesus beginning his ministry. Jesus, we looked at last Lord's Day, was tempted, and that was at the commencing of his ministry. But now he begins to teach. And notice, by the way, what he begins to teach. It's very interesting. What was Jesus' message? Verse 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Have we heard that message before? Yeah, we have. John was preaching very much the same message. And notice the impetus, partly at least, of what was going on. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, Jesus begins at where the message had been brought. He begins with the message that John had been preaching. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus, of course, takes it forward from there. But we have to understand that Jesus begins there and begins at the time at which John then would have ended his preaching. God does not allow the message to fall down. Jesus continued that. But notice also the power of Jesus. Jesus calls disciples. John had disciples. We read about that in the Gospel of John. Of course, John, the writer of the Gospel, is different than John the Baptizer. But notice, this message brings many people. Actually, what brings many people? It's not the message, is it? What are they coming for? Healings. They're coming for the abilities of Jesus to heal. And what we have to see is Jesus doesn't just turn people away because they're following him because of the wrong reason. Jesus continues to preach. Jesus continues to teach because the real message is the Savior. The real message is the power of God come into this world to save sinners. And yes, despite the fact that many people were following after Jesus for the wrong reason, yet they were hearing the gospel. They were hearing the truth. It's kind of like what John says. Excuse me. I'm sorry, not John, Paul. Paul says, some people are preaching the gospel for the wrong reason. In order to try to make my imprisonment worse. What does he say? If for any reason the gospel is preached, praise the Lord. So brothers and sisters, we have the light of the world come into an area dark. And he calls his first disciples near Capernaum in the land of Galilee. In, if you will, from a human perspective, Hickville. This was not the high and important place for people to come from. But what's important is the power of God, not our abilities. And so as we look at this passage of God's Word, the theme that we want to see, Jesus, the light of the world, calls his first disciples near Capernaum. The first point we want to note is after John's imprisonment, Jesus continues John's message in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. In verses 18 through 22, we see that Jesus calls fishermen from by the Sea of Galilee to be fishers of men. And in verses 23 through 25, we see that the fame of Jesus spreads to foreign lands from Galilee. After John's imprisonment, Jesus continues John's message in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. Hearing that John had been put into prison, when Jesus had heard that John was put in prison, he left for Galilee. Jesus' humanity is on display again. Again, he would not protect himself by supernatural powers. He had them. He had every ability. We see that very clearly throughout this passage. That Jesus is using his supernatural powers in miracles, but he would not do it for himself. He did it only a couple of times that we know of for his own purposes. He could have protected himself. But instead, he leaves the area of the Jews. He heads up to Galilee. He heads up to Capernaum. He does that to which he calls you and I. When he says in a few chapters, Matthew 10:23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Jesus left Nazareth. He dwelt in Capernaum by the sea. We're told that Jesus did not have a home on this earth. Matthew 8:20, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus, the Son of God, who belonged in the beauty and perfection of the Godhead, went from place to place on this earth. He had no earthly belonging. And Jesus fulfills here another prophecy. Notice that Matthew is very clear again and again about prophecies which Jesus fulfills. Being a light in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, at least one of them. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. This land had been first to go into captivity. When the northern 10 tribes had been taken into captivity. Yet as God promised, God brought the remnant back. Yet of course, because they had been in captivity, they were a mixed race. They were, as we said, considered to be low. In fact, remember what was said about Jesus. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What's going on? Jesus, of course, was not to be there, to be glorified from a human perspective. He was there to be what he was, the Son of God, come into this world to save sinners. And so, God had brought back from captivity people from these tribes to this area. And we're told, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. This death, this darkness, speaks certainly to this area of the world, but it speaks to all of the world. The darkness of sin, the darkness of judgment and death have seen the great light, the light of the gospel, the light of the hope of eternal life, had come into this area of the world that was dark, and has come into our lives, into our darkness and brokenness, as we sang in that first hymn, the veil of tears we live in. As the Catechism says, the veil of tears. This world is a veil of tears. And Jesus then begins to preach. And he preaches not down by the Jews, not down in Jerusalem. He preaches in this backward area of the world. And Jesus continues John's message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was preaching in the midst of a church culture that was telling people that they were all okay. The early church at that point was very much in that manner. The synagogues, the Second Temple Judaism, as we call it. And yet people were drawn to this message of repentance because they knew deep down within their hearts that we're all sinners and we're not okay. We need salvation. And by the way, every human being knows that. And so we can preach that gospel. One of the touch points that we can bring to people is, are you really okay? Our culture tells you you are. We all know there's brokenness. This isn't right in this world. And so Jesus continues John's message that had brought many people to him. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, for the people at the time, this would have brought the idea of judgment. And it often does today too. The kingdom of heaven. Of course, Jesus was the manifestation of the coming of the kingdom of heaven. They were thinking judgment, because if you think about even from the Messiah, who can stand the day of his coming, and all of the ideas that go on, those are quotes from the Old Testament. When Jesus came into this world the first time to build his kingdom, not for judgment. He will come, we're told, the second time to judge. But this first time, he comes into this world to build, to bring salvation. And so how does he begin to build his kingdom? Well, we have it in our next verses. He calls disciples. He calls fishermen. Now, nowadays, fishermen are those who have a little extra time on their hand, right? These were not leisure fishermen. These were people who fished for their lives, for their livelihood. And these were not the highfalutin people. These were the salt of the earth. These were looked down upon. You guys work hard for your living. And sometimes you don't catch anything. These were the people. So we're in Galilee. These are the people already looked down on. But these weren't just the best of that area. These were very much the low end of that area as well. They were probably fairly close to illiterate. Their language was such that people could tell. Remember what the servant girl said concerning Peter at Jesus' trial before the Sanhedrin? We can tell because you have that Galilee accent, paraphrasing. But Jesus preaches the gospel. God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. All we do is say, Lord, use me. Be ready to be used. Don't spend our time saying, God, I got to get this, that, the other thing. I've got to be, from an earthly perspective, prepared. God uses our backgrounds. God uses our abilities. But God prepares us through labors, through being used, not through all of the other things we think we need on this earth. And so Jesus calls fishermen. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Of course, nothing that Jesus does is without purpose. And there he sees fishermen, brothers, casting their net into the sea. Jesus knew exactly whom he was looking for. And what does Jesus tell them? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus changes their job description and he plays off of it. You're fishers of fish, now I will make you fishers of men. God can do that. God can use fishermen. God can use the abilities of a fisherman to bring his gospel to a world that is so in need. And God can use all of our abilities, all of our places to bring his gospel to this world. Yes, we have certain people who are called and given the office of minister of the Word of God. And those guys are important. But they're not the only ones who can speak to people with the gospel. We don't have to have a big, long spiel to tell people. We need to tell of our sins forgiven. The gospel that we believe. And so Jesus calls these men and he says, I will change your job description. I will send you out to catch souls. And they didn't take time to think about it. They left their earthly hope of income. Later on, the disciples would say to Jesus, look, we left everything. We left family. We left our earthly jobs for you. And they came for the purpose of the kingdom of heaven. They had almost certainly heard of Christ's preaching. Perhaps they had even heard him preach. They had heard of John, perhaps. And they were given the opportunity to be Jesus' disciples, and they jump on it. Then we hear concerning the sons of Zebedee, and quite honestly, it's almost a repeat. Then he saw two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, mending nets. These weren't fishing anymore. They were mending their nets. Now, some of the net fishing happened very much on the bare edge of the sea, and some of it would have been from boats. And so here they were doing hard work. And Jesus calls them. As we said, these probably weren't even highly literate. They probably just got through their bar mitzvah, which meant that they had to be able to read certain things out of the Old Testament. Remember, these men would be timid in the face of the Jews initially. And yet later on in the book of Acts, we're told that the Jews marveled. Were not these men of Galilee, had they not been with Jesus? God uses weak, unable people, because the power of God is there. Not our abilities, not our strength. God uses us by His Holy Spirit. And again, these sons of Zebedee immediately left their father, their boat, to follow Jesus. They followed after this teacher. Jesus, building his kingdom of heaven, calls these disciples, these fishermen, from almost as low as you could go in society for consideration. Yet God is the one who gives them the ability. And the fame of Jesus spreads to foreign lands. From Galilee. Jesus teaches and preaches and heals throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the good news of the kingdom. By the way, gospel is just another word for good news. And healing all kinds of sicknesses and disease. And Jesus did this throughout all Galilee. Now, think about this for a second. We get a cut on our hand. We don't worry about it too much. Band-Aid, a little antibiotic ointment, we're good to go, right? Brothers and sisters, think about the medicine at the time. People died of all sorts of things. It is phenomenal to think of what God has given us today. Things we don't even think about today would kill people. That cut on your hand, if it got infected, you could lose your hand. You break a bone, it would never be right. Think about that. I don't know if you've read old westerns. Oftentimes people would have broken bones and they would never have it right. And that's not, 2,000 years ago. Think about what they had. And this man, from their perspective, was healing people. All you had to do was come to Jesus. And so they came in hordes. If there was a hope of being healed, people traveled for miles. Think of the paralytic, Matthew 9, 2 through 8. They brought up and let him down through the roof because there was such a press they couldn't get through the door. Jesus' fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought all kinds of sick to him. And what did he do? He healed them. And brothers and sisters, we have to see the parallel here to our salvation. Now, sadly, people do not come as much in hordes for the real problem, the real answer that Jesus has. But brothers and sisters, we are called to come to Christ and to be healed, not of just earthly illness. So often people are so worried about all of the earthly illness. And certainly it's horrifying, it's sad. But brothers and sisters, we have a much greater problem. And we have a much greater answer. Our problem is not, hey, I might have trouble on this earth. Our problem is eternal. Our problem is our eternity. Are we in Christ? Yeah, cancer might shorten our lives. Guess what? The worst thing cancer can do is kill us. The worst thing any of these diseases can do is what? Kill us. Certainly there's sadness and difficulty in between. It's very difficult when people lose their understanding and struggle with those things. But the worst problem we can have is death. Here on this earth. But brothers and sisters, a far worse problem is answered in Jesus Christ. And we're called to come to Christ. Not saying, God, you've got to. Saying, God, I have nothing. But you say, believe on me, and you shall be saved. And so, brothers and sisters, we come to Christ just like these broken physically people looking for physical help. We come to a Savior who has a greater answer than that. Certainly He could heal. Certainly He could make people better physically. And that physical healing, of course, points us to what? Points us to His ability to save. And so these people who came, and remember the feeding of the 5,000, what did Jesus say, John 6:26? Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and filled. Yet Jesus healed them because the signs pointed to what He taught. And yes, many people would not get that picture right away. But He healed them. Notice as well that Jesus uses His divine power to release people from the effects of sin. He would not use it for His own ease, for His own needs most of the time. And the fame of this healer went all the way into Syria. The people who sat in darkness were not just the people in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. The people of the world were in darkness. And our world is full of darkness. And Jesus did these miracles. Why? To point to the message. Now, we don't need miracle makers, miracle doers in our lives today. We have the message written down. We can check the message of a preacher against the Word of God. The miracles are not the point. The Savior is the point. And so people came from where? I think it's very interesting, these places. From Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Great multitudes. They came from Galilee. Now, Galilee's right there. This would be expected. This was Jesus' home turf. Of course, Nazareth, the people from Nazareth, rejected Him. Also, Decapolis. Now, Decapolis is the Transjordan region on the east side of the Jordan. Remember, this was where 2.5 of the tribes of Israel had settled from Jerusalem. Now, this is where Jesus had just been. That area from Bethlehem. This was the center of Israelite worship. And those who should know the Jewish Bible the best, and they were coming out to Jesus. And they heard the gospel preached. It came from Judea. The Jews, who thought themselves better than everybody else, were going up to Galilee, to the hick towns, to hear the gospel preached. From beyond the Jordan, from other places, and all the way into Syria, throughout the world, to come. And they came because Jesus healed. But at the other end of it, they heard the gospel. And brothers and sisters, we are to bring the gospel to this world because it is in darkness. And we need to understand as well, God can use us. We don't have to have a theological degree. We need to believe. And we need to let our belief be used. We need to let it out of our mouths, to not hide it. And Jesus had followers from all of these different types of people. And as we said, where did He call His disciples from? Fishermen. He didn't have to choose fishermen. He chose fishermen because those were the ones He wanted. Because it is the power of God. When you see someone who can't do anything doing things like this, we say, look at the power of God. When we see someone who was already really good at it, well, then it's just them. And God doesn't play second fiddle. Look throughout the Old Testament. Look how often the Israelites were called to go into battle with just a few people. Why? Because God's the one who wins the victory. And so don't be afraid of small things. Don't be afraid of times when we feel weak and unable and I don't have the right words on my mouth. Yeah, guess what? Neither do I. Because you see me up here preaching? That's not because I'm able. The only thing I have to say is what God says from His Word. And we need to glorify God, not ourselves, not say, look how powerful this guy is or that guy. I always struggle. Last year I gave you, many of you, a copy of Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. I love that, but we don't worship Charles Spurgeon. I've got another one that I've considered giving by Paul David Tripp. Excellent book. And I'm hoping he doesn't get too big of a head. We have to realize it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation in Him. And so Jesus calls fishermen, and He uses them powerfully. And brothers and sisters, God calls you and I. And God can and will use us powerfully. And I go back to what Isaiah said. We need to say to God, here am I. Send me. Use me. Help me, Lord, to be ready to be used by you. To bring the gospel to a dark world. Amen.